Welcome to this training camp edition of That's Your Opinion with the man, the myth, the legend, Fred Smoot, along with, I don't know, what moniker could we give Amish? He's not a legend.
You gotta earn it, right, Chief?
That's good. You do have to earn that. Yeah.
I have not earned that.
His 7-year plan at Syracuse doesn't quite earn him that.
Nope.
Which is nice. And my name is Tick Hernandez, and we come to you mostly each and every week as an inside joke. All right, as you guys know, at the end of July is here, but great month for sports. It has been, and it's going to continue. If you're into sports betting, BetOnline is where you should go to win money today. The NBA Finals now done, and the MLB heading to the second half of the season. There's plenty of betting action to get involved in. If you're a football bettor, by the way, there are tons of futures and props you can wager on as well. BetOnline has all the latest odds, news, and information on your online sports betting needs. Visit the website today or use your mobile device to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. So before the next tip-off, face-off, or pitch, head on over to BetOnline and start playing today. You can actually bet on whether or not Fred Smoot will get a new battery in his smoke detector.
Yeah. How many weeks does it take before it dies completely? Are I forced to change it? What's the odds on that?
We'll get back to that story later on in our podcast. Fred has been down in Richmond, where it is hot as Hades down there.
Yes.
So from what you've seen in the early, and I know it's early, and it's like 3,000 players in uniform, and you've been through this many years of your life. Anything that stuck out to you as far as initial battles or a guy where you just went, oh, look at that. What's going on there?
Yeah. First of all, training camp is one of those things where everybody's excited to be back. I remember those days. You're excited to be back until like that third day when their body starts to break down. Chick, don't forget now, when I did 2-a-days, we was really practicing 2 times a day.
Correct.
You got to realize.
Correct.
They walk through the second one these days. They don't practice as hard as we did. When I first got here with Marty Schottenheimer, after my training camp with him, I didn't even know if I wanted to play football no more. I'm telling you that now, because we almost was there almost a month. We was there 20 plus days. We was in Carlisle, Pennsylvania.
Carlisle.
We was doing Oklahoma drills. He was doing goal line, and he was putting me at middle linebacker to see tackle. All kinds of things were done that I was like, this is totally different. And don't forget, I'm a rookie, so I'm taking the blunt of the hazing from the veterans in different ways. So you're losing sleep on it because they done threw my mattress out of my window onto the ground.
Who threw the mattress? Did you ever find out?
Bruce Smith did it to me. Oh, I know who
did
it to me. Yeah, of course he did. But see, that tells you a lot about rookies too, what veterans attract to you. Now they might be messing with you, but they only gonna mess with the people they like. So now what I seen down here was I seen a team, and that's why I ain't gonna even get into players early.
Okay.
I seen a team all on the same page with a all business military style regiment.
Okay.
So that tells you, like, if the first guy that's in the drill and the fifth guy in the drill looks the same technique-wise when they're doing these drills.
Right.
That says a lot about how they go about doing things. Also, the way they attack drills, the mentality, is all competition. You know what? We sit here and say it all off season. How about we add another wide receiver? How about we add another wide receiver? Hey, we ain't got no room for another wide receiver.
Okay.
Do people not understand with Curtis Samuels coming,
mm-hmm.
He's that Swiss Army knife. He lines up everywhere. Terry McLaurin is your number one. Don't forget, I think we forget about guys like AGG. You got to realize Cam Sims has more than earned a spot on this roster.
Got
Kevin Harmon. Don't forget, you got De'Ami Brown, who you just drafted. And don't forget, you got Steven Sims. All right. Don't forget this. Oh, I signed a veteran by the name of Adam Humphries. Like, so how many of these guys is going to make this team? We're going to have to cut a quality receiver or two. All right. That's just how deep the wide receiver room is. And I tell you this about that quarterback battle. Most people don't look at it as a battle. Oh, it's a battle.
Is it?
It's a battle. You can't tell when one of them is not in the game. they play so similar. Now, the one thing I can say about Fitz is he just letting it go. You could tell when a veteran has made it to this zen.
Right.
He's got this Phil Jackson-like zen. So he literally just let the ball out of his hands, knowing where he going to go pre-snap, knowing how I'm going to put the ball, where I'm going to put the ball, who is my wide receiver going against? Do I need to throw it back shoulder? Do I need to throw it front shoulder? Do I need to throw it to the sideline? Do I need to throw it out of bounds so he can lean out of bounds and catch the ball? So he's already mentally there, but Heinicke is soaking it all in and goes in and makes the same good reads in the same plays. It's going to be a tougher battle there. But when it comes to this group and these guys, I love this defense. I can't stop looking at it. I can't stop. Like, literally, the front, you remember I've always said, Chick, that it always starts with the guys that smell like bacon. All right.
They smell like bacon. Guys. That's the title of this podcast, by the way, Si. When they smell like bacon.
All right. Hey, listen to me. I always say that. So I say build from the trenches out. Now, I remember from a team, we built from the outside in, and we had a defensive back front that looks like the front on this team, fathers, the D-line. Mm-hmm. I remember in a defensive back room, it's me, Carlos Rogers, D'Angelo Hall, Sean Springs, LeRon Landry, Ryan Clark, Sean Taylor. Like, sure. this is magical, the things we could do. And mm-hmm. Greg knew it. Greg, like, all right, well, that's our strength. We got to play mostly these guys
right. And
figure out, because the front didn't match us. All right. They didn't match as far as did we have pass rushes all over the place. We weren't blessed in the front end like the back end. But this one is blessed in the front end.
Sure.
Now, don't forget about these defensive backs. The defensive backs and the linebackers was looking good. So that allows everybody to play. And that's why I think this team is going to be a good team. Like, that's why I'm constantly saying 11-6, 10-7.
Yeah. I mean, on paper, they look spectacular. Obviously, what some of the guys did last year and Chase Young and Montez Sweat, what they did on the corners, it's going to be something to behold if Jack Del Rio, and I know he will use them correctly because he did last year. We've had these coordinators who haven't used personnel to their best their abilities mm-hmm. in the past, yeah. But we saw Del Rio last year kind of use those guys. And I'm sure.
Green Buck-
oh, sorry.
Oh, that was the flu.
Did you sneeze?
Yeah, okay. I did. Consume tight.
Yeah, the greatest thing that Greg Blosch ever said was on our air when he said, "We look like the north end of a southbound skunk out there." That was the best line ever on our post game show. And I thought, you think for a second. Wait, oh, I know what he's saying. Yeah. Anus. You look like an anus.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. This defense does look very strong. I hope, you know, and pray that, you know, everybody stays healthy. And to that end is one of the issues that is with this Washington football franchise. And by the way, we did get some sort of clarification from Jason Wright, who joined Darren Haynes from Channel mm-hmm. 9 yesterday or 2 days ago and said that Washington Football Club will not be the name. He came out and said that will not be the name. Now, is he telling the truth? I don't know, but
I don't think the guy wants to start off a relationship with a fan base with lies. Now, the one thing you don't want to do if you want a good, strong relationship, and this to you too, you need to listen to this since you're finna be the new married man at the bunch. All right, the one thing you don't want to poison it with stuff that you have to keep up. See, that's the one thing about a lie. You have to continue to maintenance it. And see, me, I'm not a good liar. I forget too quick. All right? So I said, no lying for me. Now, he wants to keep this relationship strong. I don't think he go about that way of doing it. I think he's slowly Xing things out.
Okay.
And I think they're watching the posts of the fan base. And every time, listen to me, every time I go on IG, on somebody's Washington page, every time I go on Twitter, all I see is wolves and Red Bulls.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm telling you this. It's universally the most. I was in Richmond, and all I heard was, hope it's wolves or Red Wolves. All right? Yeah, yeah. I'm not. Nothing else do I hear on a constant.
Right.
But that right. one. I'm sorry. The franchise can't help but feel that pulse. Sure. They can't help but feel that pulse.
No question.
And understand, all right, well, we knew this fan base wasn't going to like whatever name we picked because mm-hmm. it ain't the old name.
Right.
But they seem to be warming up to this one. And then not only do I get a stamp from a guy that I had to try to sell on it on the early show that we did in the off season with me, him, and Julie, where I was talking to Coach Rivera, and we was talking about the name, and I just kept selling them on Red Wolves, and then you hear him come out and say,
yeah,
I feel like the Red Wolves lost some steam, and so that's the name I like. Like, so you got the coach vouching for you.
Sure.
As you slowly X out Warriors, Football Club, all right, you're smashing it down. All right, yeah. So I like the slow approach. And I also think it builds the anticipation.
Sure.
Until they're going to get to a list that only has one name on it, and we ain't going to know for like 2 months after they done just said, no, wow, no, 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 this is it.
I like the anticipation. I like the way they're handling it. I love the fact of watching video of Jason Wright out at camp, meeting and greeting the folks, you know, doing the electric slide, all of that stuff, right? Because that was not something that was done with the prior regime, Bruce Allen. The Richmond mayor came out and said, we have a really positive relationship with the organization now.
Yeah.
And they say that, right? That means that it was shit before. And we kind of know Bruce Allen. We're coughing up names now.
You better watch that code now.
I'm sorry. So the only negative I think right now in camp is that the Washington franchise, I think right now, is when it comes to vaccinations, is the worst team, lowest rated team.
I just don't understand this. This is don't.
So it pisses you off.
I totally believe in free will, but I also believe in the pressure of my marketplace. All right.
Right.
If I'm a doctor right now, saying that I'm about to help people, that's my job.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing I got to do is get vaccinated. Do I have a choice as a doctor? No, I'm finna be seeing people that I don't want to get sick.
You're protecting.
Thousands of them. So I'm gonna tell you, son, you got to perform in front of 80,000 breathing down on you. Some vaccinated, some not.
Right.
You're going to put yourself in jeopardy. You're going to put your team in jeopardy. You're going to put your family in jeopardy just for you can rebel? Because a lot of this is just rebelling.
Well, that's just idiotic.
I've heard so many just conspiracy theories. Oh, they're going to put a chip in us. Oh, they ain't had time to test it right. Well, I'm sorry. We ain't had that luxury. The whole world had shit down. We ain't had a luxury of time. We ain't had 2 years to figure this one out. all I'm saying, if I was there, I would feel a certain way, because I already got vaccinated. I would probably feel a certain way with the guy that didn't, because that means on this run we finna try to make.
Yeah.
You can come up missing at any time, and it has nothing to do with what already take us out. It's injuries. Right. They don't have nothing to do with that. Right. They're going to have the fact that you said, no, I'm just going to do it. Well, and I think that some has to do with youth too.
How would you
a youthful team, and you know how the youth feel about it?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's leaning, because all of the grown up older players, they protecting too much at home to be taking something into their household that they know can hurt everybody in the household. So it's two different mindsets. Mindsets in there. And I think that's where we are losing the battle, because the younger guys, you know, when you're young, you're alpha, you feel invincible. You know how it is.
Mm-hmm.
Like they say, the worst person that drive a sports car is a 23-year-old. All right? You just don't do it. It's too much adrenaline. You can't let them turn on that young Jeezy and drive that sports car. It's going to go over 100 more than it's going to stay under 100.
Right. Oh, yeah. I mean, I completely agree with all of that. And so I want to ask you, Fred, how would you as a player, honestly, because I know how I would feel in this situation, but how would you feel if week 5, the few people on your team who were unvaccinated have a breakout and the game gets forfeited, everyone, and you don't get your game check, how would you feel? And how would you go about dealing with the people who caused that?
Hey, I want you to re-say those magic two words. Did you say game check?
Yep.
My game check? Listen to me. Now you're messing with the church's money. And that one thing you don't do with veterans, right? They got more days on the outside than the inside left in their career. They have no time to be missing checks. Not only are we missing checks, we just fought for the game that we could have won. All right? You don't know till you get out there and play it. You didn't give us a chance to play it. It's going to be a divide in the locker room. So you're telling me Fitzmagic going to feel the same way Montez Sweat feels? No, he's just not. He's just not. So at the end of the day, a John Allen ain't going to feel that way. All right? He's just not.
A newly signed John Allen.
A newly signed John Allen, by the way. Congratulations, Washington. About time you start to retain your talent. Right, because right. Right, this always been our problem. Guess what? We're one of the best drafting teams of all time. We've drafted two Hall of Fame cornerbacks and one Champ Bailey and Darryl Green. Like, we drafted LeVar, who was actually should be a Hall of Fame if we would have used him right.
Right. Correct.
Chris Samuels. Like, we draft Sean Taylor. We drafted one of the best safety, if not the best safety of all time. Like, we draft at a high level. We retain at a low level.
Very low. Yeah. All right. So, Curtis Samuel, Matt Ioannidis, Chris Miller are on the COVID list, reserve COVID list right now. Ron Rivera has come out and said, I am frustrated with these dudes. I'm going to have a talk because he's immune deficient. He's got to worry about his own damn what's going on with him. And as you've been talking about, it's going to piss off a lot of players on that squad. What did you think when the league said, hey, by the way, if you get caught with COVID and you got to forfeit, we're going to make you forfeit the game. We just talked about it a little bit, but the league coming out kind of without the NFLPA going, wait, what? But hey. A move, what do you think?
Applying the correct pressure.
Okay. All right.
I'm sorry. I to those who like concerts, my favorite, if I could go see Al Green right now, I wouldn't hesitate live. But if you tell me Al Green ain't vaccinated, I'm not going to see Al Green.
Right.
Do you understand me?
Yeah. I got you.
So that's a performer. Guess what a football player is? You a performer. You are an entertainer. All right? And this is what I'm going to tell you. It's something you go unspoken in the workplace. This is also when it come up to contract time. Listen to me. This could affect things when it come up to your contract time. Like how you handle situations. That's what football is. Situations of crisis on the field. How do you handle those? How do you handle them off the field? I'm just saying, as a person that has lived that, I wouldn't hesitate to go get vaccinated simply because I got 50 other three brothers in here that I am not trying to put at harm's way. Yeah. That's if I can get any message out to them, this don't be selfish in this one. Because guess what? You'd be selfish when we got a 4-for-3 games. You know, you'll be selfish when one of your teammates contracted from you and take it home to his kid. All right, so watch out for each other. That's what a team is, right? And if you tell us this is the best approach for everybody to be safe, why would I go left? Why would I want to be the anti-dude? And for what reason?
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So look, Washington football team has got their training camp going. It's going well. And we cross our fingers that nobody comes out of there too bumped and bruised. Speaking of, but who's calling me now? Whatever. Speaking of guys who handle stuff off the field well, one Aaron Rodgers. And if you do nothing else and you haven't done it, you need to go back and look at his 3-minute and 34-second press conference.
No, which he laid it out. It was 30 minutes.
Well, but his opening statement was this, and it was as good as it could have been. You know, there's always been when guys either hold out or create doubt, it always comes back to some written bullshit statement, and some stupid excuse. He just laid it out there and said, basically, I wasn't treated well, not the way I should have been treated, the way I wanted to be treated. He called out the GM, not by name, but certainly you knew who he was talking about. I just thought he laid it out there. I just, to listen to an athlete, and you talked about of Fitzpatrick and how he's in that zone, right, when he's releasing the ball. Aaron Rodgers, during that press conference, was in his zone. It was here it is. I'm not going to BS you. This is what it is. This is what I was thinking. And they didn't come through on this end. So screw that. I thought about getting the hell out, and that's what it is. But I'm here now, and I'm going to ball out because that's what I do. I thought it was spectacular. And if you're a Green Bay Packer in that locker room, you have no doubt that Aaron Rodgers is playing alongside you, not you know, anything else.
It was a verbal grenade, all right? he blew the front office up. One Schmoostradamus has been saying for the last 9 years, Green Bay is an organization is the enigma in the room. Green Bay is the organization is the most underachieving organization that gets global love than anybody I've seen. Green Bay has had 35 continuous. Like, first of all, when I say continuous, I mean back-to-back Hall of Famers, right? 30 years. They got two Super Bowls. Two. Yeah. One by each quarterback. That means you managed only to win Super Bowls 17% of the time of each Hall of Famer's career.
Right.
You stink. All right? You stink. You're literally, Tom Brady has let the Tampa Bay Bucks catch up with Green Bay in the last 35 plus years. Tom Brady making it two Super Bowls for Tampa is the same amount that Green Bay has. All right? Now, you know what New England did with some Hall of Fame quarterback? Because they ain't had but one.
Yeah.
Hmm? You know, Tampa ain't had but one Hall of Fame quarterback. All right? You know, this is what I'm saying. Yeah. Some guys, some organizations are propped up for the greatness. Now, the one thing we know about Green Bay, and this is the reason I think Aaron wants to leave. Nobody, he sat up there and said, I am the only reason that free agents come here.
That's right.
There's nowhere to live.
It's not a vacation destination.
Nope. It's literally nobody that I know played for Green Bay actually bought a house. But Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers. Because as soon as the season over, they're gone. Now, what did that tell you for your afterlife in sports?
Right.
Oh, you have no afterlife in sports. Right? You going to live in Green Bay? No, it don't come with that built in. And Aaron wants the city he can attach to for the afterlife that's actually a city, not Papa Smurf's village. Right? Actually a city. So, in saying this, I feel Aaron 100%. You couldn't get no more clear or honest.
Correct. Right? He laid it out.
They cut a lot of guys that I didn't feel like need to be cut. That we could get winning. Right.
He listed 10 guys. He listed 10 guys that they mistreated. Yeah, you don't ever hear a player come out and say that.
Jordan Nelson is the one that really hurt him. Jordan Nelson and Charles Wilson is the one that really hurt him. Sure. Now, not only that, he feels like, oh, and plus I've been slighted because they never asked for my input. I think if I was doing this 16 years, you would ask for my input. But guess what? It's a mythos to the Green Bay underachieving Packers. Every 16 years, those Hall of Famers leave. Every 16. Mm-hmm. This is 16 for Aaron. Right? Brett Favre left at 16. All right? Bart Starr, 16.
Yeah, I got you. By the way, let's all just feel real bad for Carson Wentz. Got a foot injury, out indefinitely for the Colts. That guy cannot catch a break. It's
who? Can I ask you this?
Yes.
Is Carson Wentz, is he this generation's Jeff George?
No. You know why he's not? Because Jeff George was a poison. Jeff George had all the physical talent.
Wentz was hated in Philadelphia locker room. Hated.
Really?
Because they didn't like him. You didn't hear all the stuff coming out about it. They say he was attitude-ish. He wasn't like one of the guys. That's why Nick always did better.
Right. Well, with Carson, at least it didn't come out on the microphone to the public. With Jeff George, he literally would say after a game, I don't know what happened. That guy didn't catch the ball. He was like, he was a cancer. A cancer.
What about Jay Cutler? Is he this generation's Jay Cutler?
Jay was tougher than Carson Wentz. Jay was
I can't say he's not tough because things are breaking now. This is, it's a contact sport.
Yeah.
And, you know, things happen.
Well, man, you're in.
But all I'm saying is this. High-end talent. Don't forget this. This guy is 3 years, 4 years removed from being the MVP of the league.
I know.
How soon do we – so do we forget now? How do we forget now? How do you go from that? Does he got the yips? Is that what he has? Do he has the yips?
Maybe he has the twisties like Simone Biles.
That's what they call the yips.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, we'll get to Simone in a second. A lot of guys leaving town, Fred. A lot of guys leaving town. And just somebody got pissed at me yesterday. So Russell Westbrook's going back home, going to the Lakers.
That was a
the
brief Lakers. Relationship. That was so brief.
So why brief. I tweeted out, don't let the door hit you in the ass on the way out. Maybe like, oh, what do you? I was like, well, I said, because it was too brief for me. I wanted to see. I never got a chance to even play in person because of the pandemic and all this bullshit. Yeah. I wanted to see him play, but since he's not going to be here, but you know, for 1 year, see you later. So now he's with LeBron. He's with Anthony Davis. That's their version of the big three, which we've talked about wanting to have it here. Lakers also, I don't know, this deal is ridiculous. The Lakers get the 224 second round pick and the 2028 second round pick. Wizards get Kyle Kuzma and the greatest name in basketball, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Montrezl Harrell, and the 22nd pick, which they used last night on Gonzaga's Corey Kispert.
And I hear through the grapevine that they actually want to trade Kuzma and Montrezl Harrell to the Nets for Spencer Dinwiddie. I'm a Laker fan, all right?
Okay.
And one thing that I feel is Kuzma has constantly underachieved.
Okay. Can he do it here?
No.
And now the pressure's back on Bradley Beal, who will be
I think Kuzma's ceiling, I think his ceiling is Otto Porter. I think his floor, I just don't know. I just, because, you know, you can tell when, but you know what? Maybe leaving L.A.
Maybe
is good for a guy like Kuzma.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we go back to the cities and how you can handle the cities. L.A. far different than D.C. So we wave goodbye to Russell Westbrook. And then there's a baseball team called the Washington Nationals.
Oh,
hate. It's the business. And you played at a very high level in professional football. It is the part of the business that I hate. We grew to love and respect Max Scherzer.
Mm-hmm.
Grit, his determination. When he got on the mound, it was just balls to the wall.
Never let us down.
Correct, right? And just, you know, when he got pissed off the umpires, it was great. Awesome this year when they're trying to check his glove and his hat. So he's gone to the L.A. Dodgers, along with this one hurts probably more, Trey Turner, because Trey's got a long career left. And left fielder Kyle Schwarber headed to Boston. So I'm not sure what the learners are doing.
What's this a cash dump? What's this trying to open up the books to sign big contracts to the youth, to the Juan Sotos of the world? All right.
Well, if they don't sign Soto now, then they should be banned from baseball.
That's why I'm asking you why.
Yeah.
It makes no logical other way to move Scherzer. You shouldn't want to.
Right.
You just shouldn't.
They're getting prospects.
Look down the line and you say, you know what? I'd rather pay Juan a season earlier than a season late. Simple as that.
Yeah. I mean, they're getting two prospects who baseball regards as highly regarded prospects. And so we'll see. They get a catcher, Keibert Ruiz, and a right-handed pitcher, Josiah Gray. But it's not Scherzer. It's not Trey Turner, who, again, we've come to watch him play. And just, it's just, you know, it's been fun to watch. And Scherzer was very, very eloquent last night talking about, look, we won a World Series title. You'll never take that away from me. I have great memories of Washington, D.C. But, you know, he actually played a whole lot more than I forgot how long he's been here. And just, you know, sitting down with a guy, you just, you know, you love honest athletes. Again, no BS about Max Scherzer. And the fact that they knew it was coming, you know, they knew it was coming. You know, you're playing, you know it's coming. And it's, well, all I heard 2 days ago was, Max Scherzer's final time in the Nats uniform. You're like, boy, this is depressing.
I'm out. The athletes see it's so more surreal for us. We get a call 10 minutes later, the news drops.
Right. You know, well, most of the time, some guys find out via social media, which is stupid.
Oh, most definitely. You could be taking a walk in the park and find out that you're going to Kansas City.
What, so take me through when you were told by, what happened with you in Washington going to Minnesota?
All right. It was free agency time.
Okay.
Now, we was in negotiations all year long.
With
now
Washington.
The problem was, was our negotiation was about an EBT card because we didn't have no money to give nobody. Meaning
an
we
EBT card?
Paid. Oh, yeah, that's what the people in the ghetto use, their food stamp card.
Okay.
See, you know, I grew up in the ghetto. That's how
it is. Yes, I understand. I understand.
All right, so what I'm saying is we had no money. And then we got free agency. We got guys like me, Antonio Pierce, all of us that came in together, and we're trying to keep the band together.
Mm-hmm.
But with us paying guys that's not even on the roster, we were so far under the cap that they just couldn't make legit offers to none of us.
Right.
So I was like, okay, I test the waters in free agency, but I was focusing on staying here. So I was thinking about signing a short-term 2-year deal, 3-year deal,
mm-hmm.
something that I knew was going to be negotiated once we got some more cap flexibility.
Right.
But then, you know, Buzz Cook is aging. You're like, Fred, let me just tell you now. you remember how many variables before you even got here? You just got to seize the moment.
Right.
So I literally started to talk to a couple of teams at Pittsburgh. I hate to say it. I think Dallas was reaching out. But my first stop was Minnesota. And when I got there, they made it clear, Mike Tice and the rest of them, they was not trying to let me leave. They were still a free agent.
Really?
So the negotiation started back and forth. And of course, I didn't leave there. I left there as a Viking.
Okay, so here's the thing, because, you know, we in the media, we talk to agents. Sometimes we have the relationship with the players and we're kind of getting some intel. But so you're in Minnesota, you're in a hotel room. Is Buzz Cook there with you? Is he somewhere else? And are you just sitting by the phone or getting texts going, all right, here's the latest offer. What's going on?
All right. I'm pretty hands on. And that's what I used to do with Buzz, because I like to learn anything that I'm doing.
Sure.
So I was like, just keep giving me updates, because they have these days when they negotiate way more than they negotiate, you know, other days.
Right.
So, of course, prior to me getting there, Bus was talking like, I think they willing to go this much, they'll give you this much. And I'm like, all right, how much guarantee? Now they negotiate, it'll be this much. So by the time I make it there, we do some, you know, interviews, go out to eat. Mm-hmm. I wake up the next day, they're like, nah, we want you to stay another day. We, you know, work okay. This stuff out. So I'm there. So I would literally talk to Bus, go back in the room, talk to them, go outside, talk to them. So I was very hands-on in mm-hmm. my own stuff. So then, that's how it got did so quick. Now, the interesting one, when I got myself traded back to Washington,
right.
That was all me. Like, I had already written a deal with them in negotiations. So I went right back upstairs and dealt with them again.
Right.
And just, I had a heart to heart with them, told them that, hey, I enjoyed my 2 years here. I just want to get the best out of me. And I need to be truly happy to do that. And I'm truly happy in Washington, D.C.
Right.
And they were like, well, what are you asking? You want to trade or something like that? So I like, yeah, I want to trade. He's like, can you make that happen? Have you talked to them? And I had already talked to Coach Gibbs.
Right.
Because me and Coach Gibbs, we always text. Mm-hmm. And I was just told him, I won't come home. He was like, well, work that on your end. You know how I feel on my end.
Right.
So I literally went up there, talked to them for like 2 hours in the Vikings. I was traded back to Washington the next day.
Wow.
Like, so I kind of maneuver my own, I like to seize the moment, take care of my own. So
sure. Yeah.
I went up there and I made, so I think it was more interesting coming back because I had to literally negotiate the trade and I was dealing with both sides and familiar with both sides.
Does the Buzz Cook get the same percentage even though you negotiated?
Well,
no,
we worked out. We worked out a lower percentage because, like I said, because I was so hand up.
Yeah, absolutely. What's the most important thing in a player's contract?
The language. Forget the numbers. All right. The numbers are what they are. It's all about the language in it. Any small fine print.
Mm-hmm.
If this happened, this happened, this happened. You remember small things like Big Ben being threatened by his team after the motorcycle accident because it's in fine print. You ain't supposed to be riding a motorcycle.
Right.
These are the things that you need to know. All right. Somebody like Jason Pierre-Paul, when he loses his hands to the fireworks and it's in fine print, any internal injury suffered to your body could void the contract.
Caused by yourself, not football, right?
Yeah, as long as it's not football related.
Right. Did you have anything in your, any language in your contract that you just, you know, when I did mine, I had perks, little perks that I wanted to have in there that would just, it made me feel, one, like, okay, these guys like me, want me, and this is not a huge ask, so I want these little things. And I had little things in there that was just my own quality of life.
So, Chick, you one of those guys, you a diva, you wanted Diet Pepsi in your room, you wanted fresh apricots in the room when you make it every day. So,
no.
So you get a tweakers in there.
When I played in pro-ams, in golf pro-ams, you know, because I was representing the company. I was going to do work there. But, you know, there's a certain fee that those guys, the fans, pay to be in those pro-ams, right?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't want to just go to the golf folks, Tigers folks, and go, can I play for free?
Mm-hmm.
But so, you know, let's negotiate a little lower fee. But then that fee's in my contract with Comcast Sportsnet. It is, you know, this – you know, when I play in these, you will give this to that organization. So it's a charitable donation for one, but you know, that way we were kind of, and there's all little things in there, but no Diet Pepsi, all that stuff.
Yeah.
I'm not like Steve Buck answer. I'd have pillows every road trip.
They call escalators. And of course it's always escalators in contracts.
Okay.
Four plus interceptions, five plus interceptions, eight plus turnovers. Like it's escalators in your contract that can get you extra things. And when the team is trying to maneuver the cap in any kind of way to manipulate it, you will get a call into the office and say, hey, we owe you this next year. We're finna go and guarantee you this. We're finna guarantee $800,000 of this right now. It lowers the cap for them.
Right.
So we're gonna turn it into a roster bonus for the 1st of April.
Okay.
Right, there go the difference. And what happens in that room at different times. It depends on what they're trying to accomplish, who they're trying to sign to bring on the team. They'll tell you how they manipulate the cap.
And conversely, for those organizations that aren't really dealing from the truth, they'll look at those contracts and see, oh, he's got, if he plays 10 more plays, he gets this percentage.
Yes.
Let's have a chat with the coach. Bench him. Right? That happens, and it's ridiculous because then the agent goes, he'll just leak it out. Hey, by the way, my guy, if he played 10 more plays, would have made $500,000, but shockingly, he got benched for no reason. Mm-hmm. And that's some BS.
Usually when something like that happened, though, the karma come back and the guy that you put in usually get hurt. So you forced to put the guy in and let him rush for them last 17 yards.
Right,
to get
right.
Yeah, because that's just bad faith negotiating. So, like, when they do that, that's just bad faith at that point.
Yeah. Oh, it's things.
Oh, but
it's
happens at a very high level.
You never forget it. Final thing, the Olympics, they're going on right now. Forget the USA basketball. The loss to France earlier, I don't give a crap about. What I do give a crap about is something that I was walking the other night, and I was on IG Live, and it was how the initial reaction to Simone Biles stepping back from the all-around competition. And if anybody watched the video, she said, I got what they call the twisties, and that's when you lose where you are in midair. We're not talking 4 feet off the ground. They're getting up to 10 and 12 feet high in the air off these flips and these vaults. And my sister was a gymnast with Dominique Dawes back in the day. They grew up together. You've seen now a bunch of gymnasts come out and say, this is a real thing, and when it happens, it is terrifying. And you don't know how long it's going to last. And it's like golfers yips, but not nearly as dangerous.
Yeah.
So I'm happy to see what's taken place in the days since, because, you know our country, you know social media, the knee-jerk reaction. I said, we got a bunch of fat guys on a couch eating bags of potato chips, bitching at Simone Biles for backing out, and they're calling her weak. And I'm going, well, you're just stupid.
They never accomplished anything. They correct. never had the intestinal fortitude to perform in front of 50,000 live in a right. million. You ain't got to go. See, that's what I hate about some fandom. All right. Some mm-hmm. fandom goes too far. That's why they call fanatics. All right. You can't love a sport more than you love your life and the people that's in it that you share it with. You mean you're taking it too serious. Right. Like, so at the end of the day, I was one of those people didn't even think we needed this Olympics. Take that money and put it into help curing everybody on this earth. Like,
yeah, but what about those guys who've been working five years?
What about the people that missed a whole year off work? All just went through Agreed. Something that was different.
Sure.
I do not care. Push it back a year or two again. Like, all I'm saying is you're going to do it in the middle of a pandemic. It's turning out to be the worst Olympics. I haven't even tuned into it.
Really?
What channel? What time?
There's a bunch of channels.
It's too hard to find.
Yeah.
It's the work. Like, I'm sorry. It's just ill-placed, ill-timed.
Well, that sucks. That part sucks. I mean, you literally, because of social media, I know that Suni Lee won the gold yesterday long before I ever saw her performance. The spoiler alert, it ain't working, okay? It sucks. And when it's away, unless you're in the same time zone and seeing it live, it's not nearly as fun. If you're one of those people who like drama and can sit on a TV and watch the swim meet, right?
Forgettable Olympics of all time.
Most forgettable Olympics of all time. Your second headline.
It's been more headlines, truly, mm-hmm. about the Olympics, about the dislike and disdain of it, mm-hmm. than it has been about, ooh, did you see this performance the other day? I can line up the stories with weed smoke and track. I can bring all the stories up, the cardboard beds. I can bring these people are disqualified because they tested for COVID. So now I get to the point and ask the question, is this the world's finest we're watching? Because last time I checked, the world finest is on their couch like me. All right? So now, not only do you saturate the product by not giving us the truly world's greatest, you put it at odd times and it has no star power.
I will tell you this.
That's it. Luka Lannister, the King Slayer. I called it on Luka. I'm not going to let you live that down. I told you. MVP by three.
By three. I watched, finally, because now that, you know, getting ready for the second week, they're starting to do track, which is my favorite portion of the Olympics. But I guess because of whatever rule, every country is allowed to enter somebody in the 100. It could be in heat number 12, but they're in. So I'm watching heat number 7, and literally the announcers are like, well, none of these folks are going to be in the finals or the semifinals. And I watched the race, and I fell off my damn chair, because as soon as it started, one person just stood up out of the gates and then started to run. I'm like, what am I watching here? It was I'm like, what is that? That looks like me running. That is horrible. And then what's even better is watching them some finish, and then you think the race is over. It's 100 meters, and then out of the screen comes two more runners who are just now finishing. I'm like, what is that?
Yeah,
it was awful.
Hey, listen, I'm sorry. I'm just not entertained.
I understand.
At the end of the day, I don't think it's the top 1% in the world. And that's why you watch the Olympics.
Right.
For the top 1%. I think now, this one, we got a lot of secondary stories and a lot of secondary mm-hmm. athletes, guys that would be second, third, if these other people was in this track. So you can't take the star power out of it. You need these people that's almost guaranteed to win. You need Usain Bolt. You know why? Because right. I'm going to tune in to see the Eva Empire dominate everybody. And I'm wondering, is that one underdog, that one Han right. Solo, going to pop out of somewhere and one up Luke Skywalker? I'm just wondering.
Early in the Olympics, what race was it? The Tunisian kid. He's in lane 8. Lane 8 never wins. Mm-hmm. That dude just went, I'm going to go ahead and win this thing. You guys, follow my lead. And he was so excited. Those are the fun parts of the Olympics. And there's one guy who's really, really going to benefit. It's a guy who's been hated by golf fans the last 3 years, and that's Patrick Reed, the guy who was sitting in a tournament and gets told on Saturday night, hey, listen, Bryson DeChambeau is out. He's tested positive for COVID. Do you want to go? And Patrick Reed didn't freaking hesitate. I'm in. What's it mean? It means after Sunday night, you got to get on a plane, go to Houston, get tested 3 times, and then get on the plane. You'll get in Wednesday. You won't get a practice round. Got to go. You can look at the course via cart, and then you go play. And then he went and shot a 68, and they call him Captain America. And his persona is going to change a little bit in our country's eyes because he did this, right? He just said, I'm in. I'm all. And he's got a brother-in-law who fought for our country. He's like, I'm in, man. This is it.
Yeah.
There's no hesitation. Whereas other guys like Brooks Koepka, who we like his machismo, he said, I'm not going to play. And then we got video of him dancing at a freaking concert. You're like, oh, so you'll do that, but you won't play for your country in the sport of golf. It's all BS.
But see, that's why they give my boy DeChambeau so much. They just talk so much trash about my boy. But then everybody love Brooks Koepka.
Because the difference is Brooks, you could be at a bar with Brooks Koepka and you'd have a great time talking shop, talking whatever. You get Bryson in there and you're just like, what is that dude talking about? That's the difference is that he doesn't, no. There's a thing there. I think
it's a thing, right?
Can we talk about this? He might be on the spectrum.
It's a Dennis Rodman type effect. He's going to come in the room, suck the air out the room. We've never had that type of character in golf. He's an intimidator. He's a habitual line stepper. He literally has brought more talk about golf, because usually golf talk is either very good or very bad. Right. They either talking about some tragedy that happened or somebody winning a golf tournament. That's usually it. You don't usually have antics. Usually have antics in golf. And now DeChambeau is that villain. He is Thanos. Listen to me. At the end of the day, he's the agitator. He's the one that's making it more than just a game. And if golf want to capitalize on having all this young talent and having all these youthful eyes on it, you need these characters that bring different things to the table. Everybody can't be Opie from Mayberry. You need somebody in there that's going to light some fire.
Yeah, I'm with you. He's fun to watch, but I think it's either you or somebody else I was talking about. I think Bryson's on the spectrum. There's a few things. He doesn't quite get social cues, which is fine. Right?
It's all intentional.
Think that's intentional? I think everything he does is intentional?
Some people cherish being the villain.
Yeah.
Like some people embrace it. Mm-hmm. All right. You talked about Russ, Westbrook. Well, you know one thing about Russ, he loves being the villain. Yeah. Yeah. Like some people just embraced it. And I think golf, Mr. Game of Gentlemen and scoundrels at the same time. But we ain't had no scoundrels.
Somebody called Tiger a scoundrel.
That's because Chuck Daly was a scoundrel. We've had no scoundrels. And Bryson, not only is he a scoundrel, but he don't even abide by your course rules. Usually people hit the ball this way. He say, forget it. I'm just going to go over the tree line. So he's doing it in his own way all the way around this spectrum.
Olympics will continue, as Fred said, the worst of all time. I will watch the track and field because that's always exciting. I want to see somebody catch a javelin in the chest, but that's just me. For the Amish
guy, are you? My goodness, man.
I have a quick
question.
All right,
Fred, how long is it going to take for you to replace the batteries in your smoke detector?
You know how you go into, like, I remember I used to go into my great auntie house, and then I always asked my mama when we left out, why great auntie house stank like that? You know, she got her own smell by then, but she's numb to the smell. Only we could smell it. You know, it smelled like she had chitlin curtains in here. All right, just didn't smell.
Chitlin curtain?
So my hearing has just blocked it, just mentally blocked it out, totally.
Is it still going on?
Oh, the whole time. Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wait, so since the last podcast, we're talking 2 weeks ago, the smoke detector is still chirping.
Yes.
You know what? I look at it as a nervous tick from the house now.
Your kid's going to walk out and they'll be flinching every few seconds.
Hey, no. I just think the house got a nervous tick. You know? Hey, listen. Like I said, I think I'm just blocking it out, man. And I think he catches it every time.
I can't even hear it.
Yeah, I think it just bothers him.
No, I hate that sound. So, like, I mean, it's actually almost kind of a blessing for you that you can tune it out, because I really can't. When that happens in my house, I have to change the batteries right away because I cannot stand that sound.
All right, because of cause and effect, because I played in a stadium with high decimals my whole entire life, the worst, I guess, one of my things from, you know, my eyes, my ears, it's going to be my ears. I'm losing my hearing. The hearing is probably going to be the first thing that goes. I'll probably be the man saying, what? Like Lil Jon, all of my life after 60. All right? That's just the way it goes.
It happens right now with me and my wife. And I've gotten to the point now, I'll say something, and I know I said it clearly, but she's tuned it out and didn't hear it. And I just, for a while, I'd repeat myself once or twice, and I would get pissed off. So then I'll just say something, and she'll go, what? And I'll look at her, and I'll just go back in your brain for a second. And then she goes back and realizes what I said. I said, so why am I wasting my time with repeating? It's the bane of our existence right now.
That's what parents do. We repeat ourselves constantly to the point that constantly. I'm even tired of repeating myself. Like I told him, you just follow directions. I don't got to repeat myself.
Huh? Well, out of pure, I don't know, survival, get some freaking batteries in the damn smoke detector.
I got, and that's the thing about it. Batteries is one thing I keep. I got the batteries literally right there in the drawer.
How tall is your tallest kid?
5'10", 5'11", right now.
That's tall enough. Put the kid on the chair.
Put him on my shoulders to go get the
on the chair. You hold the chair, put the kid in the chair, bam, bam.
No. I hate to share this secret with you, but this one is located very high on the vaulted ceiling.
Okay.
That it takes a carpenter's ladder to do it, one that's pretty high. So I'm actually I'm a prisoner of this thing. All right. This thing hunts me in my sleep. I've never thought I would fear a smoke detector. I have nightmares about this smoke detector. It just keep coming and it's out of my reach. You've never felt this helpless. Like I feel helpless, but I also don't feel like I need to be calling a maintenance man in here just to pay him to change the batteries.
I just heard it for the first time.
Yeah.
I just heard it. Now that you talked about it, I just heard it for the first time.
He's a villain, man. Listen to me. I'm tormented by this guy. That's all I'm saying. See, I thought by now, though, this is what I truly thought. But that's how I know it must be a good smoke detector. It's been going on so long, I was like, you know what? It's going to literally just die soon. You know what I'm saying? Like, she'll be fully dead. Not halfway dead. Fully dead. All right? It won't happen.
It's amazing. Look, you live in a mansion, for God's sakes. There's got to be guys in the neighborhood who got tall ladders. Just walk outside one day and go, hey, man, want to make it $100? Boom, boom. Good to go. Save your family's life. We all care about the smoots.
No, okay? Listen. It's terrible over here right now. You just don't know. It's survival of the fittest over here right now. It's mental torture. I'm fine with that.
All right, so we found out that the Olympics are the worst, and Fred doesn't care about his family because he wants them to just go ahead and burn in the fire. I don't know how that works.
No, it's multiple smoke detectors in here. It's a one, like they say, if you have like five kids, you destined to have at least one bad one. Well, if you got five smoke detectors, you might just have one bad.
Then chuck something at it. Just shoot at it. I don't know, but knock it off. By the way, if you've been listening and you see this on social media, just send a message to Fred to get a new battery into the
damn. No. I'm going to tell you like this. Stay away from Willie the smoke detectors. They do not quit. They're tough. I bought it from the streets of New York. It's hard to shed it down.
The streets of New York, where gold turns to green. All right, for the Amish woman, Cy Fenwick, Fred Smoot, I'm Chick Hernandez. You have been listening to That's Your Opinion, brought to you by Bet Online.